fuck are you slapping? I don't know where your thing is.
Look me in, you son of a gun.
Yeah, I don't.
You dirty rascal.
You're going to say dirty, dirty dish rag you because...
Yes, clearly I was going to say dirty, dirty dish rag you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Somebody's going to be like, that has offensive something. And I'll be like, well, educate me because I don't know where it came from.
It's singling out someone. Get woke.
I'm sorry. Hi, and welcome to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast. I'm Miranda.
And I'm Ashlyn.
And welcome to the episode that was supposed to go out before our 1 year anniversary episode. However, none of it recorded.
Yeah.
And we were very sad about
it. Special that way.
Anywho,
face is offensive.
So it's been a couple weeks, so Ashlyn has surely forgotten everything that I told her about.
We're lucky I am conscious in this moment.
I mean, same. I've been at rehearsal until 10 o'clock every night, and then it takes 45 minutes to get home. So you know me.
Yeah.
My bedtime is 9 p.m.
That's when my plane got in on Tuesday.
Nice.
No, it was 8 p.m., but
yeah,
I still had work to do.
Yeah, life isn't great. So we're both
so much overtime.
Tired. So, you know, before we get real into it, I just wanted to remind you all to, I don't know, follow, rate, review, all that jazz on whatever podcasting platform that you prefer. Maybe leave a comment. Maybe a nice one. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Everyone loves the little warm fuzzies.
Yeah. Go and listen to our 1 year anniversary podcast. It's just like a little reflection on every episode that we've posted thus
right.
far.
I cut out a lot of us going off tangents because we'd been recording for over 2 hours at that point.
It was long. It was a good time, though. I went back and actually re-listened to Hannah Crana, and it is a great episode. I will suggest it to everyone. If you're going to start with an episode, start with Hannah Crana. Why not?
Okay.
Ashlyn's episodes are good, too, but like for one of my beginning episodes, start with Hannah
Miranda,
Crana.
Miranda, you know which one they start with. Matthew Craig Goobler.
Oh, that's true.
That's what everyone's
going to
start with.
I need to re-listen to that episode because I have
I don't know
no
if it's good
idea.
Or not.
Me either. And it has the most plays by far.
And I'm like, if this episode was a mess.
Sorry.
That explains why no one listens to it.
Yeah, right? Oops. let's just get down into it. Hey, Ashlyn, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, what do you tell me?
Kansas's elusive Sinkhole Sam.
Ah, yes.
A cryptid.
I'm vaguely remembering some things.
Yes, yes, yes. So, originally I did apologize for doing two cryptids in a row, but now there's one episode in between. So, haha. No, I'm just kidding. I still am doing two cryptids in a row.
I'm like, that's not how this podcast works.
So, let me set the scene for you.
Oh, yes. The imagery.
The year.
Please.
The year.
Yes.
1952. The location. A few miles outside of Inman, Kansas.
Right, right. We don't know where that is.
I have no idea.
You could have looked it up.
I had 2 weeks to look it up. I didn't.
You could have looked it up.
The place, the Big Sinkhole, as officially named by the Kansas State Department of Transportation. It is a big sinkhole.
Yeah. Now,
what?
Was this the episode where I brought in the fact that, you know, we had a sinkhole near where we lived?
Yes, Ashlyn.
Darn it.
Yes.
That was great comedy.
I know, it was great.
Miranda had no idea.
Well, I didn't really know that the house that was all burnt out, the burnt out house near where we lived. I think a gnat just attacked Ashlyn.
It did. It tried to fly up my nose.
I think it did with the reaction you had. Apparently, we grew up near a house that we called the burnt out house. Apparently,
because it was literally like just the foundation of the house and like one wall.
It looked like it was burnt down. I guess that was on a sinkhole, which they've now built a house on top of where that was.
Right, but they filled all that in. They also built up that area because there was a deep, like a
steep.
We
also discussed that I have a irrational fear of sinkholes.
Yeah.
It's a big problem. There's one specific pothole that keeps reopening on the ramp up to the highway outside our house. And I swear to goodness, that is a sinkhole. It just keeps reopening. They fill it every other week.
Well,
every other week.
If they're filling it over and over again, it's going to be the weakest part of the...
But still, at this point, why can't they just put those metal plates over it, you know? Until it like fully like, I don't know. But it opens...
Because everyone hates those.
Every week, there's it's a sinkhole, I swear. Anywho, moving on. So, in Inman, Kansas, in the year 1952, yes, at the Big Sinkhole, a young man, 18 years old, by the name of Albert Neufeld, known as Bert, spotted something mysterious lurking in the water-filled sinkhole. It was a creature described by Bert as between 15 and 30 feet long, a wormy beast as big around as the tire from a 1951 REO Speedwagon.
So Grumpy's older brother.
In case you were wondering, that would be about 170 millimeters or 6.69 inches around. However, in retrospect, he may have meant diameter, which would make the creature about 27 inches around. Which is still like a skinny girl, you know? Like, except,
look at that later. Miranda's claiming that waist is snatched anyway.
I'm just saying, Sinkhole Sam's waist be snatched.
I knew where it was going and I just was not prepared.
With the monster in his sights, Bert fired two shots at the beast to no avail. It disappeared below the water. So, who was this elusive creature, you may ask? Why? It was none other than the infamous Kansas cryptid Sinkhole Sam. Many Kansans believed that the legend of Sinkhole Sam dates back to the prehistoric era. According to the lore, way back before North America was colonized by Europeans.
Well, of course.
Much of the Midwest land was covered in streams, lakes, and rivers. I don't know what this accent is, but it's happening.
And your facts are accurate.
But when the settlers came, they built dams and the like, causing many of these water sources to dry up.
I mean, kind of.
According to lore.
Yeah.
With this lore comes the notion that Sinkhole Sam is some kind of prehistoric creature that dwelled in the underground streams and caverns. These possibly lead to the big sinkhole / lake where the creature has been most often seen.
In landlocked Kansas.
In landlocked Kansas. Underground streams.
I don't know. Fresh water.
Hey.
Area.
Our house. Our house growing up was over a freshwater spring, and we had nice spring water.
But we also didn't claim we had dinosaurs living in there.
I mean, I claimed a lot of things as a child. Who knows? Mom did tell me about the alligators living in the New York City sewers.
Yeah.
However, I lived in New York for 2 years, and I never saw a diggity dang alligator. I did see a massive rat in the subway.
I'm sorry, I'm just having so many Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ideas floating through my head. You know, their dad was a rat.
I'm sorry,
or their father figure, their sensei, whatever it was.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, he's the rat king. I'm kidding, that's an entire other.
This is, we can't talk about this right now.
Oh yeah, we're talking about a dinosaur.
So, yes, the first report of Sinkhole Sam, to most people's knowledge, is when two men fishing at the big sinkhole reported seeing the being. However, these two men are not named, so they never really went on record saying they were the ones who saw it, but reportedly there was two men who saw it first. The next two sightings were by our friend Bert Neufeld and George Reger, who was described by his own daughter, Connie Newcomb, as the town rogue.
So I like it.
Clearly a credible source.
Yeah.
In 1952...
I am to be the local kook.
In 1952, at the time of the sightings, Inman was populated by approximately 500 people, and apparently not a single one of them knew what to make of the creature. I guess they surveyed each and every one. So,
I'm sorry, I have this like, I know it's 1952, but I still have this like westward expansion, like a western, like what Dad watches.
I get it.
Going on in my head, and I'm like, how do I translate this into 1952?
I kind of have, like, the Music Man going through my head. Yeah. So
that might work, but I just imagine them breaking into the saloon and they're like, guys, you never guess what we done saw.
It's kind of like in the Music Man. Mine's more turn of the century than it is
westward expansion. More modern.
Not much. I've learned so much about history working at a costume shop just because I have to look up different eras of costuming and stuff. And I'm like, wait a second, that happened that close together?
Oh yeah.
What?
Also finding wild, man.
It's absolutely bonkers and it makes zero sense, but whatever. fashion's crazy. So a veteran Kansas reporter by the name Ernest Alva Dewey made his way to Inman to investigate.
You want to try that name again?
Nope. Let it be known that Dewey's career as a columnist had begun as a publicist for a traveling circus. And he had a reputation for poking fun at local legends. One article stated, quote, he once attributed UFO sightings to an airborne Kansas dragon known as the ball-tailed Snicklehoopus.
No, I believe that one because I've seen it.
Ooh. What is a Snicklehoopus? Because I have no idea.
it's a Snicklehoopus. I don't know what else to tell you, man.
Mm-hmm. I tried looking up what a Snicklehoopus was, but it yielded no results.
It was something in the sky. That's all I know.
Apparently in Kansas. So Dewey traveled to Inman with his scientific buddy by the name of, you get this, Dr. Erasmus P. Quattlebaum.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. So, for those of you who don't know, and I'm sorry if I'm
most of letting his listeners,
yeah, just giving away.
She once dated a young man, yes, but last
one of
name
my high school boy, one of my high school boyfriends' last name was Quattlebaum. So I find it very funny. They probably could be related because
I mean, yeah,
they're really the close area to Kansas. So
it's a great last name. We're not making fun of it, by the way.
Such a great last name.
Hey, I like it. It kind of like it just kind of like keeps going. You know, when you start it off, it's like Quattlebaum.
It just keeps going. Yes,
I like it.
It's very German.
That's true.
By the way, Quattlebaum's credentials were said to be, quote, as real as Professor Marvel's diploma in The Wizard of Oz. So,
you know, very credible.
Yes,
like
keep that in mind.
The highest accreditation, guys.
Yes, clearly the most educated gentleman. So, Dr. Quattlebaum's findings found that the big sinkhole was home to a Fuppengurkel. Which, according to Dr. Quattlebaum and Dewey, was one of the prehistoric subterranean creatures that once populated the Kansas area.
I'm sorry, can you imagine, like, like scientists naming different dinosaurs? Like
Snicklehoopus and Fuppengurkel.
Like if they just continued with that sort of
I feel like I'm in a Spy
sense.
Kids movie.
Yes, yeah, like Spy
like
Kids 2.
Or whatever. And the
No, Spy Kids 2, where it was actually dinosaurs.
See?
And Steve Buscemi.
And Steve Buscemi.
Do you
Steve
think God,
just
too, lives on heaven
way in, again?
In fear of what he's created?
So, also according to the Doctor and Dewey, Fuppengurkels were exclusively male, which is why the monster was deemed Sinkhole Sam and referred to as a male.
That's not how genetics work?
Yes, maybe they asexually reproduce.
Like plants.
Yes.
I'm not a plant.
I wasn't claiming that you were. Are you... I don't know what you're implying, Ashlyn. I never accused you of anything. Anywho. You may be wondering how such a large beast could survive in such a small lake of sorts. The sinkhole was only said to be about 15 feet deep. If you recall, Sinkhole Sam was said to be 15 to 30 feet long. Well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm talking like this. Well, Dr. Quattlebaum and Dewey have an answer for that, too. The big sinkhole was merely Sam's above-ground swimming pool.
Clearly. You know, this is definitely like a mud spa, you know, like a mud bath.
And Sam would merely escape into the tunnels and caverns beneath the ground when he pleased.
What do you think is living in the Missouri caves? Like
clearly a Fuppengurkel.
Like, I don't know because I think
could
it would
be a Snicklehoopus.
I feel like it would be something, you know,
a Wally Pompous.
There you go.
I'm naming
I like it.
Random things now. A
that makes
pompous.
More sense. Is that a land dwelling creature?
It's a cave dwelling creature.
Cave land dwelling creature.
Clearly, so it's actually made of rocks. No,
that tracks.
Also, they claimed that the local fishermen and swimmers had nothing to worry about because, according to Quattlebaum's research, Fuppengurkels were terribly dumb and very vegetarian.
Oh, like hippopotami. Which...
But...
Kill a lot of people.
But they were still to exercise caution because, quote, he may forget that he is vegetarian.
Yes, that's what happens with the hippopotami, not the fact that their eyesight is terrible. No, they just forget that they're vegetarian. So,
yes, I got that quote directly from Eccentric Kansas, Tales from Atchison to Winfield, written in 2019 by Roger L. Ringer.
I'm sorry, any vegans out there, do you just forget you're vegan?
Well, they're terribly dumb, Ashlyn. Not vegans. The Fupengurkel. The Furken. Oh, I can't say the word now. Fupengurkels are terribly dumb and could forget that they are vegetarian.
I see, I see.
Yes, yes, yes.
Vegans are much smarter.
Yes, much. How dare you lure me into that trap?
It's a fun trap to lure you in.
Dewey's article about Sinkhole Sam was published by the Selena Journal Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This brought hordes of monster hunters to the area.
Why would you want to hunt a Fupengurkel?
Hoping to get their shot at the elusive Sinkhole Sam himself. Nearby, the Penner family owned a farm. And in a book published by one Mel Penner, Section 27, A Century on a Family Farm, they described an experience where the family arrived home from church on a Sunday afternoon to,
like you do,
quote, dozens of Destitos, Chevys, and Nash Ramblers parked at the edge of the big sinkhole.
Again, I still have like this whole Wild West thing going on, and so now it's like one of those Jeep commercials.
There you go. They also noticed every single car window was rolled up just in case they got their wish of seeing the monster. They also mentioned that by this time, the title Sinkhole Sam had taken on popularity.
Ah.
So due to the sudden popularity of a so-called sea serpent in a lake in farmland Kansas, major news outlets began to take notice of the story.
It's not a lake, it's a sinkhole.
It's a sinkhole lake, okay, Ashlyn?
Don't go swimming in a sinkhole, friends.
I don't know what you want from me. So major news outlets began to take notice. So the Newspaper Enterprise Association sent reporter Mary Kay Flynn to the scene. Flynn interviewed several so-called responsible citizens of Inman who described the creature to them as 15 feet long with a fluted tail and a long fin on its back.
I'm just wondering how they determined which ones were credible.
I know. They were responsible.
Oh, citizens. Responsible. Like what was the criteria here?
I have no idea.
Yes, I'd let you, you know, bring me my Sunday morning paper. Thank you.
Also mentioned was Sinkhole Sam's big non-snake-like grin, which sounds really creepy to me. Yeah, it's gross. Some really creepy pictures depicted of Sinkhole Sam. Did I break you?
Funny.
Well,
I'm imagining just a really dumb smile on their face, like,
I don't know. The artistic depictions are much creepier.
I imagine that. Oh no, now I'm brought back to the Sonic with the human teeth. The original Sonic.
Nobody wanted that. So, by October 12th, 1953, ooh, more newspapers from Eugene, Oregon to Panama City, Florida had picked up Flynn's story on the elusive Sinkhole Sam. So, what is Sinkhole Sam?
A Fupengurkel.
Clearly, it is a Fupengurkel. Now, there are several theories to what kind of creature Sinkhole Sam truly could be.
A Neoplaron.
Number one, a Fupengurkel, as posed by Dr. Quattlebaum.
Yes,
but we've already gone through all of the evidence, clearly. So number two, one cryptozoologist by the name Lorne Coleman, which according to the article I read, Lorne Coleman is the world's most respected cryptozoologist.
Again, what is the criteria here?
I have absolutely no idea.
Two more research, Miranda, come on.
Coleman has written, this is the criteria. Coleman has written around 42 books and thousands of articles on cryptids, covering the whole spectrum, from like Bigfoot to Sinkhole Sam.
I'm so envious of people who like can make their careers
doing this, doing that. Yeah.
Like,
That's true.
That's the dream.
So, according to Coleman, in Dimensions Alone, Single Sam sounds akin to a Mongolian death worm. However, that's only in looks alone. Single Sam was never reported to spit poison, like poisonous acid, which the cryptid Mongolian death worm does. So that's where the akinness ends.
What a name?
Yeah, Mongolian death worm.
Like, sometimes you like to be subtle with the names. Be like
Single Sam.
Yeah, be like Single Sam. You know, is he gonna Bigfoot. Eat you because he forgets he's a vegetarian
Momo
or not?
The monster.
No, instead it's a death worm. Mm.
Number three. Moving right along.
This is
gonna be one short episode. Just for y'all.
I'm trying to drag it out, Miranda.
I'm talking very promptly, which is fine. Travis Taggart, the president. It's not Travis Taggart is not what people think Single Sam is, by the way. Travis Taggart poses this. He is the president and executive director of the Center of North American Herpetology.
Herpetology.
I can't talk. Herpetology.
Snake doctor.
A snake.
Well, expert.
Expert. they suggest.
Or reptile expert. I'm sorry.
Anywho, they suggest the gopher snake, which is common in the Inman area and could be Single Sam, possibly.
Just
a, you know?
Really big gopher
seeing
snake.
Seeing as it's the longest native Kansas snake, reaching lengths of approximately 89 inches. Mm. And according to Taggart, the gopher snake doesn't mind getting into water. And he also poses, quote, snakes are difficult enough to size up when they're coiled, but even more so when they are moving or swimming. And of course, the bigger the snake, the better the story. It's kind of it's kind of like when your grandpa comes home from fishing and he's I caught a fish that was this big. And every single time he tells a story, the fish gets bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like Moby Dick was probably like a minnow.
I'm sorry, you brought up Moby Dick and immediately just...
Ashlyn has trauma from reading Moby Dick.
Not really. It was just so boring and so stupid. The thing is I love reading, and I love reading classic books.
Apparently
Moby Dick was the first book I ever hated. And I'd read David Copperfield, you know, before that.
And this has been Book Reviews with Ashlyn.
Yeah, Moby Dick sucks. End of story.
So I think, honestly, that is a pretty good theory right there. But we have one more for you. Number four. Single Sam could be a gigantic Sicilian.
What's that?
Well, according to author John Mizaros on statecryptids.blogspot.com.
Yes, where you go for all of your
the
cryptid
information.
Research. Yes.
Single Sam could be a gigantic Sicilian, a snake or worm-like amphibian, order Gymnophiona.
As you can tell, Miranda definitely knows Latin.
Yep. According to Mizaros, Sicilians are the most found in warmer parts of South and Central America, Africa, and South Asia. Bringing in the question why the heck this thing is
right,
in Kansas. Because
Kansas,
along with Missouri, has some of the most flippant weather ever designed by God.
We will have, like right now, or not right now, really, but...
We've had monsoon season lately.
Oh, right. Before that, we had...
Oh, we had snow. We had snow in October before Halloween this past year. And then we had snow after 80 degrees.
And then it went back to 80 degrees.
In like what, April was it?
Yeah.
April we had snow.
I was out in Texas.
And then it went back to 80 degrees. So.
And then it got hotter and hotter. And like now how everyone's going through that heat wave, we were doing that a few weeks ago.
However, our heat wave, I will admit,
was a bit cooler than what's going on now.
It's nowhere near as severe as what's happening
in
Oregon.
Well, and also it was super humid.
Oh my goodness.
Well, and also ours was super humid, whereas some of these...
Dry heat is even worse.
Well, dry heat, you're more likely to catch fire, but yeah.
Anywho.
That's what happens in California.
So, once again, posing the question, why Single Sam would be in Kansas if... You know, they like warmer parts of South and Central America, Africa, and South Asia. question. But he goes on to say most are burrowers, but there are those in the Typhlonaceae aquatic family.
You know, Google can tell you how this stuff is pronounced before you come on the podcast.
I don't think that's a feature. I've never heard of that. Isn't it more fun to hear me wrongly pronounce things? So Mazaros goes on to say, quote, if Sam is one of these animals, or more likely a colony of them, it could survive the winter months in deep hibernation, buried in the mud at the bottom of the lake as frogs and salamanders do. So he does have an explanation why single Sam could survive in Kansas. Mazaros also suggests that these creatures typically feed on small worms, grubs, and the like. But one as large as single Sam would probably eat flocks of birds that land on the surface of the lake.
No. Sorry, I'm just imagining our bird baths being unsafe, and I just, for a bird.
So what do you think in conclusion?
I think he's a big worm.
I think he's a big worm, not a snake.
I mean, in general, just a worm-like creature.
Do you think Sinkhole Sam is real?
I haven't been to Inman, Kansas, so I wouldn't know necessarily.
My next question, should we go sink out Sinkhole Sam? However, he hasn't been seen in quite some time, so many locals believe that he has gone extinct.
Because they're only, Foop and Gurgles are only male.
Yeah, they don't reproduce. They evolved and then they died off because they don't reproduce.
Which is the opposite correctly of how evolution works anyway. So.
Yep. So, that's all I have for you. It's been at one short episode. My plan is to not edit this. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I don't have to edit that much out. I only messed up a couple times.
And then the other parts that you just messed up, you just ran with it.
So yeah, if you're in the, you know,
I think we should go seek out Sinkhole Sam around him, because it's not a demon. I don't think we're gonna, you know.
No one ever got eaten by Sinkhole Sam that we know of.
Wouldn't that live to tell the tale? That of
he
being
could,
eaten?
But be careful, because he could forget that he is a vegetarian.
Oh, yes. I just
I like
the,
how
the idea that herbivores have enough conscious mind to make that choice. Mm-hmm. Not the fact that that's just what their body processes. No, yeah, it's a decision on their part, and they can forget it.
I mean, it is for me.
Yes,
but I'm not even actually a vegetarian.
Because you're a human. Animals, I'm sorry, do not have the same conscious brains that humans do. I'm sorry you had to find out this way.
You're gonna mess with a whole other side of things, and that's frightening. I might cut that out just because I'm scared.
I have a degree in psychology. I can say that with confidence.
You don't have a degree in pet psychology.
I studied enough animal brains.
Ugh.
Have you seen the frontal lobes on those things?
Ew. Anywho, so... yeah. How has your week been? I'm just kidding.
I'm so tired.
Me too. I'm in a show right now.
Yes.
I explained that a little bit at the beginning of this episode. I've been getting very little sleep. I am excited for the show, though. I think it's going to be good. I am a little mentally exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
It's kind of funny. So I was at the airport earlier this week, which is always its own nightmare. But the thing is like, you know, a lot of people usually think like they'll complain about kids in airports and things like that, or on airplanes, like, oh my gosh, they're so loud. Like, kids are so annoying. And the thing is,
also the child didn't choose to be here.
Oh, I know. The thing is, the people around me this time were just cool with it.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're all in this together. This is great. And like the kids would be like, oh, this is an airplane. And like people would be like smiling and everything.
That's so
it was
nice.
It was a good positive experience.
Yeah, that's like restoring faith in humanity.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I love kids, and I love, like, even if they're being a little bit annoying and they're grating on my nerves, I still like I think they're great.
Our nephew went to camp this week, and I was very worried about him, but he had a good time.
I know.
I just worry. It's not necessarily the other kids I worry about.
Yeah.
I do worry about them, but a lot of the times other kids aren't as judgmental as adults are.
Mm-hmm.
And let me preface this with, there's nothing wrong with my nephew. He just has ADD and gets a little hyper sometimes. And people assume things because a child is hyper. And I have absolutely no idea why.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, kids were just hyper.
Oh,
it was
my goodness.
Normal. That and now they judge your child if they're like excited about anything.
They've always been doing that, though. I remember when in high school when we were taking child growth and development.
Yeah.
There was one little girl who was hyper and sometimes, you know, had problems focusing.
Yeah.
And
everyone's like, oh, she has ADD.
No, they didn't say anything like that. They're like, oh my gosh, she's such a problem child. She's always causing issues and everything. And I was like, no,
she's
you just need
child.
To give her a little bit more one-on-one attention. This is like pre-kindergarten kid.
Yeah.
And this was teenagers who, you know, if you're in that class, you're supposed to like kids and everything because it's an optional course.
Yeah.
And
I took it.
They were just so judgmental toward this little girl. And I'm like,
that's the thing.
I don't like that. I never do.
I'm like, they're kids. Let them be excited. You know, and
of course, that's also why I studied child psychology. Well,
exactly. I was just so worried for him, but it turns out everything went fine. He had a really good time. He got to go on the zip line. Very exciting for him. I've actually never even been on that zip line.
Really?
Yeah. I did tell him that you were like one of the first people to go on it, though.
I was like the second or third person.
Yeah.
Like ever.
So he was like, what?
It was a camp Miranda and I used to work at.
Yeah, we used to work at a camp. It was very cute. I was very happy for him. That's just a little life update, besides the fact that I'm tired. Well, you've been flying through the air. Have you seen any snickle hoopuses?
Not recently.
Snickle hoop eye.
Well, before flying through snickle the air, hoop. I was driving through Kansas. Maybe I traveled near Inman. I don't know.
Don't know where Inman is.
I'll have to look it
up
and see if I stop by again.
If you know where Inman is, or if you're from Inman, or you've ever, you know, possibly seen Single Sam, maybe your grandpa saw Single Sam, let us know. You can email us at madderthanacaterpillar@gmail.com. You can also follow us on our Instagram, where we post some really fun stuff. You could see pictures of the t-shirts I got Ashlyn and I for our 1 year anniversary of our podcast. They're really cute.
Oh,
they're
I still
got
to get yours.
Wow.
Not t-shirt, but your present.
Wow. You have to get it? I thought you said it was on its way.
It was supposed to be.
You're a dirty liar. Anywho, that's our Instagram at madderthanacaterpillar.
Or if you have a local cryptid near you and you want to tell us about it or want us to look into it and see what we can find, you can tweet some of those at us at madderthanacat on Twitter. We would love to hear from you.
We also have a Facebook page at ITYW Podcast, or I'll Tell You What, with a period and seven ellipses.
And we are also on the TikTok because we are hip. We are some cool cats over in here. the look on Miranda's face was worth the cringy language.
Was it?
Oh, yes. Really? That was the point. Okay. It was all for that look.
Anywho.
But anyway, you can find us there at Madder Than a Caterpillar. We got some fun stuff on there. We're goofy. We're weird. We're vibing. It's great.
And with that, I'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And tell the foop and gurkle that's living in your closet. And good night.
Poop and gurgles live in water, Miranda.
Ashlyn, have you seen Missouri lately?
I know what
it's
done to my plants.
Underwater. Yeah, we tried saving them.
You guys did a good job. They're still alive, barely, but they're still alive.
so much water.
I never thought that the rain could hurt my plants.
Yeah.
And yet it did.
Surprise. Goodbye.